What is going on? In this podcast, we sit down with Crew Jeff Harrison. He owns and operates the New Era Combat Sports Gyms in Ottawa, Ontario. This is the second time him and I sit down together. So if you haven't heard the first podcast, it's the third episode. So I suggest you go listen to it. In this podcast, we discuss what it is to be a good man, what it takes to make great fighters, and just our life philosophy as a whole. As always, you can find us on all social media platforms at PodcastRJL. So make sure to like our Facebook page, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can find all the previous episodes at rjlp.net/episodes. Peace! And we are fucking on. We are sitting here with the man himself, Crew Jeff Harrison. What's going on?
What's up, Nick? How you doing?
Fucking awesome. Living the dream, man. Living the fucking dream.
Yeah.
Well, fuck, I get to work, live in the woods, and then when I feel like coming out, I get to speak with people like you.
Nice.
It's a good life, man. It's a good life.
It's like you're like a guy that lives in the woods. Instead of being a serial killer, you come out and you're like a serial podcaster.
Man, that honestly, that's funny.
It's like a Stephen King movie, but not.
Yeah.
Stephen King meets Joe Rogan.
That's fucking funny. I'm a serial podcast. I had two this morning. I'm doing one with you. I'm doing Crew Mail afterwards. I have three more tomorrow. I have two this weekend.
Crazy.
So I am coming. I am a serial podcaster.
Yeah, you're a serial podcaster, man.
So last time you made fun of what my microphone smelled like.
Not this time it just smells like maybe like some cedar, burnt hardwood maybe.
Yeah, you got it.
Softwood, I'm not sure. I can't even tell.
No, yeah, I'm not that good either.
My dad could probably tell. He's like he's a woodworker. You could probably tell just by like the smell of it.
Seriously?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Does he still work to this day?
Work is a loose description of it.
He enjoys life.
He made bows his entire life. Like archery.
Yeah.
Bows, traditional bows, yeah. Since way before I was born until like he's 70 something now, and he's still trying to live the dream, but you know.
He still makes them to this day?
He's had a lot of health problems lately. So yeah. Not really, but it is what it is.
He definitely made
some beautiful work.
Does he still sell them?
He hasn't been able to sell them together. My dad's a different story. He hasn't really played the hand he's been dealt the best. You know what I mean?
So he wouldn't sell me one.
What?
Is what you're saying. He wouldn't sell me one.
He might.
Because I
can show you some pictures after. I think I have some of them.
Fuck. Because I grew up with bow and arrow.
Oh, me too.
I have.
Ever since I was young, man.
I'm a fan of guns. I'm a fan of firearms. I'm a fan of crossbows. And
yeah.
I would love to have a real handmade bow.
It's amazing. Shooting traditional is awesome, man.
It's not the same game.
Yeah. I did a bunch of tournaments when I was a kid too, because my dad always like we'd always shoot. Like yeah, it's awesome, man.
You have such a weird fucking life.
It's been a trip, man. Sometimes you just look back and you're like, I can tell stories, but a lot of times people wouldn't even believe what I say, you know? It's like, but at the same time, it's like, it's just a normal life.
Well, for you, yeah.
And things are pretty normal now.
You live in Ottawa?
Yeah, I live in Ottawa in the suburbs with my beautiful wife and my beautiful child and my humble yet beautiful home.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's good, man. Life's been interesting, but, you know, there's been times when you got, like, I've literally had, like, nothing. There's been times when I've had a lot. There's been times, like, now that I just feel very, very satisfied and happy with everything.
That's how life works. Sometimes you're winning, sometimes you're losing, but the mentality that you acquire through adversity is what life is all about.
Yeah, man. Like I tell people this, like this whole year hasn't been that bad. People are freaking out about 2020 and like, oh, fuck this, fuck that. It's terrible. I'm a victim. Like, look what life did to me. I'm like, it's really not that bad. You know, it sucks. For a lot of people, but like for me at least, I'm not saying for everybody else, because it's all like relative, right? But, you know, man, 2020 is the year. My wife was saying this the other day, and I agree with her. It's like, it's the year it's been one of the best years of my life, man, because it's the year I get to spend with the people that I truly care about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get to put my kid to bed for 4 months straight almost, you know, every night. I wasn't like, during that lockdown, it was such a blessing. And if you look at things with the right kind of lens, attach the right kind of lens to your eyeballs and just look at what you've actually been given this year, man, it's amazing, you know? And that's the positive outlook that I like to live by. And you know, there's always going to be something good. There's always going to be something bad going on, but you got to choose what you see, you know? And that's why people are attracted to what we do, because we try to spread this mission of positivity, you know? And I see a lot of people, and I put up something the other day about it, and you know, mixed reviews, right? I'm not talking shit on anybody. I'm just saying, man, I'm trying to inspire some people, because like, there's so many people out there with a victim mentality right now.
Dangerous.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like you're spending all your time arguing points with people that you don't care about, that yep. don't even fucking matter on mm-hmm. social media.
Yeah.
And for what? Take that time and invest it in your business, or invest it in yourself, or invest it in getting better at something. Take a course, you know, get in shape, go running, do a diet course, like learn something about nutrition. Instead, all these people are just like arguing nonsense with people they don't even know, except beyond like an avatar on a screen. It's fucked up, man.
Crew G was telling me the same thing this week.
Oh, yeah?
Said that during lockdown, he's lost like 20 or 30 pounds. He's yeah. actually started learning about...
He wanted to fight this year. He was going to go to TVAs. He was going to come up and do a camp a little bit, I thought. Well, but, you know, everything kind
of
got...
But he's doing exactly what you're saying. Instead of seeing the negativity of things, he's mm-hmm. really reinvesting himself into martial yeah. art and into his body. And I'm ready to bet that he's more in love with Muay Thai or yeah. Cali as he was last year, just because he got to spend so much time on himself.
That's it, man. Like, there's always an opportunity in the obstacle. That's kind of been like my tagline for the year.
Yeah.
What's the opportunity in the obstacle? It kind of like just floated in my brain when all this shit started happening. I'm like, you know, and, you know, there's always an opportunity.
This whole podcast came out of it.
This yeah, man. Whole
idea. If it wasn't for the lockdown and I had too much yeah. time on my hands saying like, what the fuck can I do to make my life better? Mm-hmm. I would have never done the podcast.
I think that's what you have to do every single day, is just try and make your life better. Try and evolve, try and like ascend, like some form of ascension. That's what we're meant to do, you know, both as individuals
mm-hmm.
and as a race of people.
Yep, agreed.
As a human race, you know, and wow, we've really made something out of ourselves, considering what humans were 100 years ago and 100 years ago before that. If you go back in time,
yep.
you know, wow. We're quite the species, man. It's pretty amazing.
We're very adaptable.
Yeah.
And it's especially in times like these ones right now that people evolve. People yeah. get to realize their true potential.
Where do you think this is all going?
It's a good fucking question. I don't know where the world is going, but I can tell you that if I speak for myself, because that's all I can do,
yeah.
is this year has made me realize that I finally can build something where I can help men get better, be better. This mm-hmm. is now my life goal, is to help people the way my stepfather helped me in my 20s okay. to make me realize some stuff and take a hold of what my life, or what the fuck the mess was my life.
Yeah.
And now looking back, I'm fucking Christ, I'm thankful. I'm grateful.
Grateful, man. Yeah.
I want to give it back. Being yeah. helping men, I'm a man, so I feel like I can help other men. And
it's relatable, right? Yeah.
I can't teach a little girl how to be a girl. I can teach her how a father should behave, how 100%. What a real man should be like, but I can't teach her how to be a girl. Mm-hmm. But I can teach men or boys, if I ever have a kid, to be the best person that they can be, or yeah. at least strive to be the best that they can be.
What is your definition of like a good man? I'm podcasting you now.
That's all good. What's my vision of a good man? Honestly, I think if I speak for myself, the first thing, there's a red pill moment. Are you familiar with that expression?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Matrix, man.
Yeah. So one of my red pills moment comes with my own mortality. The day I accepted the fact that I would die one day.
100%.
And then I realized that up to now, I have no regrets. Literally right now, I could die tomorrow and I'd be...
Yeah.
There's a few things I would have loved to do, but I've always did what the fuck I felt like trying at that moment.
Yeah.
Love it, don't like it, I don't care, I tried it.
Yeah.
But I think...
That's very interesting. I have a theory about that.
Go for it.
The theory of heaven and hell. Okay. I think in all of its grandiose, you know, painted on the Sistine Chapel or, you know, Dante's Inferno, all the depictions from the past or like Gothic depictions of things, you know, I don't necessarily believe that heaven and hell is a place. I believe it's the moment.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a moment, you know, it could be getting like that last second before like a fucking truck hits you or if you're dying of cancer, it could be that last breath and you know, it's your last breath. It could be anything that you think of, you know what I mean? There's a million ways to die, man. You know, which is kind of scary, but at the same time, it is what it is. It makes you enjoy what you have. But there's going to be that moment. And I call that moment the moment of heaven and hell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I work towards. Because when I die, I know I'm going to die. There's going to be that last breath. And if you can die with a smile on your face, that is heaven. And if you can die, and if you die with like thinking about, oh, I should have done this, or I should have done that, or I should, like, I think so many people might die like that. You know, just with regrets about like maybe there was a loved one that they didn't do something for. Maybe they committed a crime. Maybe they sinned. Maybe they whatever, you know. And I'm not really a religious person. I'm very spiritual. Mm-hmm. But this is what I work towards. That is my definition of heaven and hell, is how am I going to die with a smile on? That depends on how many people I can help. That depends on, you know, how many people I can go out of my way to make feel good about themselves. And it also depends on like how I live my life, how I like let others treat me, what I tolerate in my life. And, you know, I'm just working for that moment. We're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
If I walked outside and some errant fucking, you know, truck went down from Home Hardware, a delivery truck ran me over, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, my fucking kidneys are squished and nothing's going to work anymore. And then I'm like, I'd be like this.
Yeah.
There'd be a big fucking smile on my face because I'm doing what I love. And I love my family and I just, everything's good. You know what I mean? And I think that's very important to work towards, is that last moment. To me, that's heaven and hell. You know, man, it could be infinitely big or infinitely small. Mm-hmm. That's the way the universe is. It just keeps going bigger and it keeps going smaller. Same thing with this. Same thing with like, you know, heaven doesn't have to be this huge expansive place as depicted in, you know, the Bible or whatever. It's in you, I think. And like your level of satisfaction that you have with your existence. That's some deep shit off the hop. But, you know, sorry to cut you off. I just had to say that because like what you were saying, like really like maybe reflect on what I believe.
It's, you can cut me off all you want, man. It's a conversation. It's one of those things that what you just touched on, we were talking about religion before the podcast and we were talking about how the message seems to be the same. And again,
the golden rules.
I think that people need to read those texts for what they are. They are stories to help you realize that there's a teaching behind that story, and that's what we need to see it for. I'm not going to argue with someone as to know, is did Jesus really exist or not? I don't know.
Mm.
But I can tell you that outside of the Bible, the Ten Commandments came out of.
Yeah.
Did they invent that? No.
No.
But those are realities.
It's the same. Like the golden rules are pretty much the same, whether it's you know, Taoism, whether it's Christianity, whether it's Muslim faith, Buddhism. Like there's like all these commonalities between those things, and like it almost makes one wonder because this is none of those were all generated without being influenced by the others. So it makes you wonder if it's in us because we're very chemical beings.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course, because we're tribal beings. Of course there's going to be chemicals in us saying don't kill each other. Of course there's going to be this. Of course there's going to be things that say love, love, love. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's how we procreate. That's how we build. That's how there's 7 billion of us. You know? So is it chemical or is it dogma? Who knows, man? Interesting.
You said, or you asked me what it is to be a good man.
Yeah.
Those 10 commandments show you exactly how to be a good man.
Yeah.
Strive to be able to live by those 10 commandments will make you a good man.
Yeah, 100%.
I also believe that there's something that Randy Turner said to me one day. that after all the experiences that he's been through in the military, to this day, he still wakes up trying to be grateful to people, trying to be thankful to people.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like the garbage man, he says, thank you for picking up the garbage. Like,
I love that about Randy, man. Every time you see him, it's like, thanks, man. But, hey, pal. He's such a good dude, man.
When you understand the TAS Joint Force 2 that he was in, he is in the special ops of the military. So mm-hmm. I can't even imagine what he's done. But to come out of that, knowing what the demon is, putting a leash on that demon and says, fuck you, I know what I'm capable of doing. I will unleash it if I need to. But my job is to control it. This to me is to be a good man. Unleash, being able to, on your day-to-day life, to control the demon, but yet if my family's at risk, I get to unleash it no matter what the consequences are, because the life of a man is not important, in my opinion. It is something that can be destroyed for the sake of a bigger group. I strongly believe that men are disposable. Women, why do you think we always say women and child first in any emergency? Child and women first. Men should be there to make sure that those, because who takes care of the child? Women. We are just there to procreate. Once we're there to basically create that child, raise that child, is often left to the woman, with the man being part of the unit to show what a strong person should be. But then when a woman is pregnant, she's vulnerable. When a woman is taking care of a child, both the child and the woman are vulnerable. Mm. So it is the job of a man, and good men, to be there to provide, to be there to take care of them. And when I say provide, I'm not just saying a woman should be in the kitchen fucking working. That's not what I'm saying.
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, but no, but people sometimes take this the wrong way. What I'm saying is, when somebody is vulnerable, men are vulnerable all the time. Men are vulnerable in our decisions sometimes, where we want to accomplish something, we might not have the whole confidence to do it. A good woman will be behind you and say, you know what? Yeah. Stop being a bitch and fucking do it. But that is a strong woman. And
I'm very lucky to have a strong woman.
Oh, I know. That's why I'm telling you. I don't know her, but I can see it.
Yeah, none of this would have been possible without my wife, Tracy. Like, the man, when I met Tracy, I did not have...
Yeah, you had a bag.
I didn't have a bank account. I had a fucking bag. I lived in like Nick Casigli's apartment and on Josh Palmer's bed.
Nice.
Like, I didn't have much, man. I didn't have a driver's license. I didn't have a car. I didn't have my shit together, man. Mm-hmm. All I had was this love that I had for Muay Thai. And I was, when I met her, I was just a couple years off, like coming off of that sentence that we spoke of last time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, my life was kind of like a big old just...
A mess.
It was an organized... Well, I was always hyper-focused on what I wanted to accomplish, which is essentially this, which is pretty cool. You know what I mean?
Or in your dream.
Yeah. I like to say that I dream with my eyes open.
Damn.
You know?
This
is my life.
Open.
I dream with my eyes open. I have a woman that I love, fear, and respect at home. You know, no, like, and she keeps me accountable to the things that I should be doing. And again, I believe she keeps that demon inside, because she helps me with that. You know, I have an amazing son who literally he looks up to me so much. He like put pressure on me that I feel like I have to rise to. Man, it's an amazing thing. To be like, to have a little guy like 6 years old that wants to be like that. It's crazy, man.
You know,
trains Muay Thai, now he's playing piano. Like, he's just, he's very smart, you know. Tracy's doing a wonderful job of homeschooling him. It's pretty cool, man. Life is good. I live my dream.
Yeah, we're in
every single
dream
day.
Right now.
Yeah, man, this is my dream, bro. You know, it's the beginning of the dream, it's not the end.
But that's okay. Dreams can be as long as you want them to be.
You know, the end result, I see something even bigger. I see this transcending. I don't really want to tip the hat, right? But I see this being much bigger.
The you know, they say that if you should live your life as in your son's always looking at you, always watching what you're doing, always analyzing, because those little guys are.
Yeah, they are.
You know as well as I do that they are looking at what you're doing.
Yeah,
you think they don't? They're not computing. They're computing everything.
Yeah, it's hard to describe the moment when you're suddenly responsible for a human being.
Yeah,
I can. It's like, yeah, you should try it. It's crazy, man. It's like,
you know,
wow.
You know what the worst part
grow
is?
Up right now.
The hardest part is not to get to make a child. The hardest part to me is to find a woman that I know that will be there for me no matter what, because I will be there. I will, if I take that step, it will be with everything I got. Mm-hmm. And I want to know that you have my best interests at heart and I will have yours.
Yeah.
And
that takes work and that takes understanding. That takes empathy, because men and women are very different. Sometimes, you know, there's going to be like little, like whatever, but you got to just work it out, man. Work it together. Right.
But that's, I think that's an understanding of oneself, and as well as once you figured out the type of person that you are, the type of person that you look for, mm-hmm. the type of qualities that you possess and the type of qualities that you want to find in somebody else, you also need to understand your flaws and how those flaws are going to align with that other person's flaw, because qualities are easy. It's in the flaws that you need to really, those are the one that destroys couple.
Yeah. Maybe
it's, but one, you have to understand yourself first. So again, that goes, I think the whole podcast is going to be about what it is to be a better man.
And this is a new podcast, or this is this podcast?
No, this one.
This
here.
One. Yeah,
oh,
okay.
This one, the one we're in.
Here we are.
I'm pretty sure.
In the matrix.
Yeah. I have a microphone in front of my face. So yes, this one. It's again, that's part of being a good man. Just a good human being is firstly understanding your flaws, what you are, what you're truly made of.
Yeah.
Put a leash on that fucking demon that lives inside of you.
Yeah.
Learn how you should learn as a man and as a woman too, but it's just, I'm a man, so I'm going to say it that way. But I think it is your responsibility to know how to fight. It is your responsibility to have empathy for people that needs help.
Yeah.
It is up to you to do the right thing when nobody's watching.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Those are the qualities of a good man.
Yeah. And I think that's the qualities of a good human being too.
Absolutely.
You know, I think, I see where you're going for sure.
But this is the goal of the podcast. The whole goal of this podcast is for me to help somehow, while inviting guests, to be able to relay a message to young men. I'm especially between 18 and 35. When
those angry little buggers, eh?
Well, it's because there's a principle that if you look at history, men between until they hit about 35 have no value. Our biological value comes from giving sperm and protecting that seed. But until we have the skills, the knowledge, the intelligence, the resources to defend that child, we do not have values yet. Once you're in your 30s, your job as a 20-year-old is to learn what you like, what you don't like, and start understanding that it is up to you to become a better person. Mm-hmm. So in your 20s, you get to teach yourself some stuff. You get to find mentors. You get to become better. Start the path or the journey of becoming better.
Yeah, sure.
So that in your 30s and your 40s and your 50s, as you grow older, you get more. A man becomes more valuable with age, because it takes time. We're stupid. It takes time for us to get better.
Yeah.
So
I think it's all, again, just all like in perspective. I think I don't necessarily agree with you about the 30s thing. Like I think I've been growing my whole life, and you know, I had some very free thinking parental.
Your mother, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, my mother was very free and open, and like just learning how to practice things, learning how to get better at things, taking things seriously. Then the pressure from my dad to actually take things seriously, or else, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And man, it's just, I think you learn, or you should learn, from the time you're like aware, conscious, until the time that you perish.
But that's,
you know, and you should constantly be trying to get better. I don't think it starts at any certain age. I think,
but that's not what I meant. What I'm saying is that until your 30s, you don't have enough knowledge. You're still learning. It's your job to learn your whole life. But in your 30s and your 40s, you have a baggage of knowledge that makes you valuable.
So much knowledge.
Yeah. But that's what it is. Like, if I look at who I am today, just from 3 years ago, if I had a conversation with my ex from 3 years ago, today, and from the last time we spoke, I'm not the same person. Yeah. But I've been working tirelessly on myself, my knowledge, trying to be better. Because the better I am, the better influence I am on the people around me, the easier it is for me to recognize a valuable human being around me. I met somebody yesterday for the first time. That guy will become friends. Just I had a podcast with a random guy.
Yeah, it's good.
Introduced by somebody else.
Circumstance.
Yep. He spoke. He spoke about archetypes.
Okay.
Archetypes come from Carl Jung. Carl Jung is one of the best psychiatrists that ever lived. Okay. Jordan Peterson's a big fan of. So that word, we went on a tangent of 30 minutes on psychology just because I recognized the word archetype, and he's a big fan of psychology. Okay. But he's a trainer. He's one of the first guys that brought a CrossFit to Montreal.
Okay.
He started in Kandahar when he was in the Canadian Army in 2007. And but brilliant mind. Brilliant. Okay. And it came out of a one-word conversation, changed the whole relationship.
Well, it's very interesting how, you know, one little thing will just blossom. And if one little thing didn't happen to you 10 years ago, would you be here? Maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure. You know what I mean? But like coincidence and just circumstances. You know, every single little choice that you make, whether it was me, like I just went to grab a drink.
Yeah.
Imagine I didn't go to grab a drink. Maybe something would have happened. Maybe something's going to be different. This conversation wouldn't be the same.
Possible.
Man, life's so fucking organic.
This is why
I'll always go back to this. This is why I'm just so obsessed with martial arts because it's so cool. It's so organic. I have sparred so many rounds. I have fought so many rounds. I have trained so many rounds. They've never been the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think martial arts is just like, for me, it just encapsulates everything that's cool about life. You know, it's so organic and it's so just, it's always just different. Like I could roll, you know, like we could roll, of course, like once things are back to normal, we could roll and like, you know, it would never be the same two rounds ever. Even if we're the same two people with the same idea, with the same thing we want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that addictive? It's so cool because you can never figure it out. It's like a Rubik's cube that you're like one away from the whole time. It's like, oh, I just need to get that one. You know what I mean? And that one is like that perfection that we seek. That one is that, you know, feeling of mastery, and we'll never get it.
No.
Unless we're feeding ourselves bullshit. Which of course a lot of people do. They're like, oh, I've got six black belts. I'm a master of this. I'm a master of that.
You're not a master of anything.
I can't learn anymore. You ain't shit, bro. Like,
no,
you know.
I think it was a Brazilian that did. I don't remember who he was, but he became a black belt, was a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for a long time, and then picked up a white belt again. Just to show the evolution that you never stop learning.
So I wouldn't do that. I've been working on this shit for, 20-something years. I've still got a brown belt, man. Like,
it's a shitty trick to play on someone. I'm a white belt. You start rolling with somebody you think is a white belt, but he's a black belt. You
know? Yeah, yeah.
But the idea behind it is quite honorable. Just saying that you have to be an eternal student.
Well, that's like Ajahn Berkeley.
Mm.
Lumpini champion, Thailand champion, fighter of the year, literally a living legend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after all that, he created how many champions, how many whatever as a coach, you know, international ambassador. This is my coach, for the people that don't know.
Yeah.
Berkeley Pinson Chai. And, you know, there was a time when the Sport Authority of Thailand was incepted and decided to kind of like try and just corral all the talent in Thailand and make there some kind of like standardization because it was turning into an industry and it was turning into something where, like, you know, you want to know a hierarchy of things.
Yep.
So he became, you know, after all that, he went to school for 7 years to become like the highest level of instructor under the Sport Authority of Thailand. There was 10 of them in the world. Him and Samart and like not Diesel Noi. There were a bunch like old school Brahmajans, you know, like grandmasters, you know what I mean? And you know, I firmly believe that one day Ajahn Berkeley will be one of the top three in the world, you know, like the true grandmasters of the sport, because he's just. And that's why it inspires me too, right? Like, of course, man, I've had Crew Chris Q, who just like lives and breathes Muay Thai, and then I have Ajahn Berkeley as my mentors. What a blessing, you know, like this guy, and, you know, learn more. And like, sometimes like I'll be showing something when he comes to teach a seminar and like, he'll watch the class and he'll be like, okay. And he'll like start to pick apart what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that's what we should do.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people all the time, we've had some instructors from other gyms that unfortunately haven't done as well during the lockdown, which we could possibly get into later or not, whatever. And the way that I explain it to them is like, there's no, I'm at the top. It's just a round table. I like that about like King Arthur and that legend. You know what I mean? We're the knights. You know what I mean? We can sit down. We all have something to offer. You know, Matt has something to offer. Mateo has something to offer. Matar, like all these guys, like Rob when he was here, Peter, you know, we all have something to offer. Dave, sorry. Right? We just sit and we can like, there's a leader. You know what I mean? There's a leader. I'm the leader, but I do not consider myself the top. I hate it when people say that. Like, oh, you're like the boss or you're this or that. Like, it's so just gross. You know what I mean? It's just gross, man, to be called that. You know, I like to consider myself like a colleague.
Yep.
You know, I like to consider myself maybe someone who has a little bit more experience than some of these guys. But at the same time, we're all just sitting around trying to be better for our students, trying to be better for our gym, trying to be better for our membership, trying to be better for our communities, trying to grow so we can help more people. And I think that's one of the main reasons why this thing works so well, is because people feel that coming in. You know, sometimes you go into a club and it's like you feel the ego. You feel the fucking I don't know if patriarchy is the right word. You just feel this like you're a subservient creature when really no one is that. In my opinion, I believe everyone is entirely equal. We just have different experiences.
It's the difference between a leader and a
boss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly.
This is the difference right there. Yeah. A boss will tell you what to do. A leader will show you how to do it
100%.
And be there. You know, there's a great meme on Facebook about somebody sitting behind a desk just screaming at someone. That's a boss. And then you have somebody in the trenches with his guys.
Got to go to the trenches.
Pushing the chariot out of the shit. It's leader versus bosses. And there's a lot of bosses, not a lot of leaders.
Yeah. I feel really, really fortunate. And as this thing continues, we're building up new leaders. We're building up, you know, former professional athletes that want to make a crack at making this into a career.
Yep.
And you know, we've got like guys like Pete that are always on the mat, that are all like, you know, like just trying to lead by the best example that you can is like truly commendable. And if I was looking at somewhere where I wanted to train and someone I want to learn from, and those are the people that I'm attracted to, I'm attracted to my coaches for a reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they fought. They won, and they didn't just say things, they did things. I think you're defined by your actions, you know what I mean? And I encourage all the guys to at New Era to really like try and pass that on, ingrain that in themselves first, break their own self-beliefs, and believe different things are possible for them, and then pass it on. It's like pass it on. So like a little bit of light reaches this person, a little bit of light reaches that person. And it's not special just to New Era. It's everywhere. I'm not going to pretend like we're the only place that does it, because we're not. I think every martial arts school, like a lot of them.
Any respectable one does
the same thing. You know what I mean? It's just about passing on light, passing on hope, and breaking people's beliefs in themselves one little technique at a time.
Yeah.
Because people come in, they're like, oh, I can't do that. I'm like, yes, you can. Maybe not today, but you can.
But you will be.
Yeah. You can. You know what I mean? We're just putting the can in people's lives. You know what I mean? So that they can suddenly do a technique that they couldn't do a year ago. And it took a year, but then they realize hard work is all it takes. Effort is all it takes. And then hopefully they can do that with anything in their lives.
Time and sacrifice is all it takes. Yeah. We've talked about this before.
I had to find that out.
There's a story I absolutely love that happened to me years ago. I was at Crew G. I was preparing for a fight. I'm sparring with, do you know Crew J from?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're sparring.
J to go.
Yeah. It's the first time I meet him. I don't know him.
He's fucking good, man.
Yeah. I catch him with just a trip. So I trip him to the floor. I pick him back up and he looks at me. He's like,
that's where? Like beef.
He's like, no, but he looks at me. He's like, where the fuck did you learn that? I'm like, oh, I was training at Westside under Crew James Mahoney. He's the one that taught me. He's like, motherfucker, I taught him that.
So, yeah, James was with Jay for a while when he went to school, I think. Yeah.
But how funny is it that you got this guy out of Montreal that somehow ends up in Toronto that went by Ottawa, learned the technique, catches the guy that taught the other guy the technique. This is, to me, is martial art. Right, yeah. There, this defines what martial art is to me.
Yeah. And there's no hierarchy to that. There's just what works and what doesn't and who practices it and who can have the timing to pull it off, right?
And Jay had no ego about it too. He's looking at me with a smile on his face. He's like, motherfucker, where did you get that from?
I get so happy when a student can defeat me. It's nothing better, man.
That's another thing that bothers me.
I want them to beat me.
Of course.
But I want them to be better than me.
It also shows you you're a good teacher.
Yeah, man.
If you're not capable.
Plus, I'm fucking like 40 years old. You should be fucking beating me, man. You know, like, geez, man, these are professional athletes. Of course I want them to beat me. It's crazy, man. I struggle with it a little bit when I first stop fighting.
The ego
point?
But now
I don't care. I don't care, man. I just want, like, I know a lot. I know a lot. I've been in this game a long time. I've cornered thousands of fights. I've seen a lot of things. I've done a lot of things. It's about just making the next better generation better.
Yeah.
And if essentially I consider, like, myself and, like, anyone like me, really, all the reputable gyms, I just consider us information brokers. Like, what do you do in business when you hire a consultant? You pay that person so that they can get you up to date on all the mistakes they've made over the last 15 years.
You're buying knowledge.
I'm just an information broker, just in a different field.
Yep.
Someone wants to pay me for coaching, I'm going to tell you everything that I did wrong first.
Yep.
And you're going to learn from my mistakes, and hopefully you won't make them the same. Maybe you will, maybe you won't, but at least you have access to that information because trial and error is the best teacher. But it doesn't mean that it has to be your trial and error. It just means that it has to be trial and error in general. So if you have a coach that's done a lot of errors, like me, you know what I mean? Or like anybody else, people that have done it, been in the trenches, learned for themselves, and they can pass that on to you. It's like an instant upgrade to your software. You know what I mean? It's just like, whoop, just leveled up by getting a good coach, you know? And that's the thing. A lot of people probably want to make mistakes for themselves or whatever, but like getting a good coach, like a good coach with a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience is just so important.
It's key.
Yeah. There's a lot of upstarts around. There's a lot of upstarts. Gym here, gym there, gym there. People opening up, but they don't have the experience. And that's where it comes in, right? And they will eventually. So in 10 years, we better watch out for those young kids. You know, we better watch out for those young guys starting up their upstarts, you know, but not now. They're not on the same level right now because they don't have the experience.
But there's mistakes. It's funny you say that because there's definitely mistakes that needs to be done for yourself. You need to experience what it is to fail.
For sure.
But there are mistakes that you definitely don't need to make, that you can take other people's journey and say, okay, I don't have to do this to know that this could lead to a very bad time.
Whether it's in the ring or in life or whatever else. Like,
to me, the ring fighting martial art is a direct representation of what life actually is.
That's it, man.
There's nothing. I've spoken to hundreds of people in martial art, and to this day, if they were successful martial artists, they are successful human being in whatever they accomplish. Because the mentality is what I like to call a transferable skill. Something you learn somewhere, you can directly apply it to whatever 100%. Else that you do. And martial art, to me, it is the number one teacher in my life.
Gives you that virtue, gives you that substance of character.
That ego. People tell me I have a lot of ego.
Oh, yeah?
But people confuse ego with confidence.
Certainty.
You know how many times I've repeated that one?
I hope so, man.
Confidence is for little boys. Certainties is for the big boys. I love that saying.
Yeah, it's true, man.
But there's a difference. Most people tend to believe that ego is confidence. They're nothing related to it. I know what I can and cannot do.
Yeah.
But I also know that there's a lot of people that can break me in a fight. I can tell you that you were talking, who the fuck would fight Rob Thomas? I would not. If I had to, would I? Yes. Would I enjoy it? Oh, fuck no. That would not be a pleasant thing to be doing.
Wiener kick.
That's it. I'd kick the dragon tail.
Yeah, yeah.
Or how do you say it? You said that to Mateo. He came out this morning about tickling the
dragon's tail. Yeah, yeah. That's a good saying, man.
I know. That's why I'm repeating it. I thought it was hilarious. This guy is a crazy man.
Mateo's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
excited to see him fight again, man. The problem is, like, man,
this month, huh? Probably. We're hoping.
Hope to. Yeah. Things are still in the works. They verbally accepted. I don't know. We'll see. You know, people don't want to fight him. You know, the top will fight him. You know, but like the guys on his level with five fights, same thing with Matar, same thing with a lot of our guys, man. It's a tough position because, you know, he has to fight like the top of the top, and we're okay with that.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean?
But
the,
unfortunately, the guys on his level with his record aren't going to usually take that fight. It's because he's a brown belt or because whatever, you know, like it's like, I don't like the culture of fear. Like his manager, we just signed them to Sucker Punch Entertainment.
Yeah, I heard about that. Congratulations, buddy.
Yeah,
good for them.
They managed some big names, lots of UFC champions and whatnot. But like he texts me before I even look at the guy. I'm like, yep, 5-1. Yep. Because Mateo wants to be the best in the world. Mateo wants to be a UFC contender.
No, he's not going to be a UFC contender. I had about an hour conversation off microphone with him this morning. That dude he has the mindset to go wherever the fuck he decides to go.
Yeah, and so it's going to be frustrating because there's going to be a lot of people that maybe are just in this to be a tourist and maybe don't have or maybe feel they don't have the skills to beat him. But like basically his manager texts me, this is the guy, 5-1. Before I even look him up, yes. How could you turn down a fight if you want to be the best in the world?
You can't.
You can't.
No.
You know, the pickers and the choosers and like living in this culture of fear, it's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, it's not my style.
Yeah.
It's not what I want to pass on. I'd rather lose than beat a can. You know? Like, I'd rather lose, man. You know?
What the fuck
I'd rather have my students lose.
What do you learn from beating up a can? Yeah, you don't learn anything.
I fought cans because my coach at the time recommended it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, just build up your record. And I don't feel good about those fights. I fucking hate those fights. It's like, I feel better about the time when, like a killer like Jordan Meaney's an opponent and he's 170 and I'm a 145. And I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. 2 days out, let's go.
Yeah.
I have a chance. I'll try.
There's always a chance.
Maybe it wasn't the smartest thing. I don't know. I broke my face, right? But, you know, like, maybe, like, if you know, someone gets injured and, like, this, like, I've just had moments, like, a lot of moments where I've got to test my character and I feel really, really good about those moments.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's moments where, you know, you kind of listen to somebody else and like people influence you and like, you know, just like build up your record or just take this easy fight, smash them. And like, I don't feel good about those at all, man. I don't even like posting about those. I would never talk about those to my students.
This
one time where I beat up a lesson.
Why do you think that is?
What?
Why do you think that is? Why do you think?
Because I don't think it's honorable.
But why is it in your head that you'd rather lose to somebody that was strong?
I'd rather win against somebody good. Let's get that clear, right?
I know. But
it's because it's the challenge, man. It's the eye of the tiger. It's the thrill of the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Standing up to the challenge of your rivals. Just like the Rocky song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that is something that I lived by. But I was a little bit incapable to deal with the challenges that I picked off sometimes, whether it's jujitsu wise, whether it was wrestling wise, whether it was size wise, engagement wise. But the cool thing is that this evolution of me as a martial artist and now me as a coach, I learned so many valuable lessons. And I learned that, you know, as a coach, I learned so much from the limitations of my training.
Mm-hmm.
So when my guys take a short notice fight, they're fucking ready. You know what I mean? When our guys take fights, they're more ready than I was.
Both Matar and Mateo said that this morning.
So I feel very,
like, we can pick up a fight anytime. We're always ready. We're always
on
weight.
2 weeks notice, no problem.
We're good.
You know what I mean? Where it was like my willingness to engage was commendable, but you know, maybe the skills weren't there. But with these guys, the skills are there because we work so hard day in, day out. Because I was a fucking party animal too. I was both. I was like, okay, I got a fight coming up. I better get in camp. But then, like, I had a lot of things in my life that weren't lining up to being, that were conducive to creating a really good professional athlete. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
These guys just eat and sleep it. They're martial arts 365. Martial artists 365 days a year. And then when the time comes to have a fight camp, whether it's a 2-week fight camp, a 4-week fight camp, and a 6-week or an 8-week fight camp, they're ready to just focus on becoming better athletes. But they're martial artists all the time. So they're technically sound enough to be able to take a short notice fight with literally, I believe, anybody in the division in this country.
Yeah.
Like 2 weeks notice, sure. Anybody. Anyone that's listening out there that wants to fight Mateo or Matar, they're ready, man. You know what I mean? And same thing with a lot of the other guys too. You know what I mean? They stay ready as martial artists because the technique will always back them up. You can get somebody ready. You can get somebody ready enough. Maybe not as ready as an 8-week camp, but you can get somebody ready enough in 2 or 3 weeks, I believe. You know what I mean?
He has a great, Mateo, it's been a while since I've met a fighter that is ready to sacrifice as much as he's doing right now.
Yeah.
I can.
He's giving 100%. And with great sacrifice come great rewards, obviously. So.
Yeah. And he has, like I was saying, I had a good half hour to an hour conversation after the podcast with him earlier, and he's a brilliant young man.
He's smart, eh?
Clever.
Yeah.
He's very smart. He's also very dumb to be fighting because it's a two-way street, right? It's a joke.
Yeah.
It's a joke. Because you have to be a bit special to want to get punched in the face for a living.
I don't think he wants to be punched in the face. I don't think anybody that's fucking right in the head wants to get punched in the face. I run into this, man. People are like, oh, you got to take a shot to give a shot.
No, definitely not.
Smart, especially with a 4-ounce glove on. If you can go through your whole career not getting hit and not finding out if you got a chin, that's
cool. Perfect.
You know what I mean? That's fine.
But he's ready to take the damage, yeah, is what I mean.
He's ready to die.
And he believes in his skills. You see it in his face.
Well, we believe in his skills.
Yeah. That's what I was telling him this morning. I was talking about what to me is the representation of a good coach. And having a coach that has a lot of technique, a lot of experience means nothing, because it's not because you were a good fighter that you were necessarily that you're going to be a good coach. And often not, okay, you're not. But I believe...
I don't know if I agree with that, but...
It's just... Yeah. Okay, let me rephrase it. The way I'm going to say is a lot of people teach the way they were learned. It made sense to them.
Yeah.
Instead of building up fighters for... their mentality, yes, building, okay, up fighters for their, that's what I mean, is that, like that, they, yeah, take it, they take their own knowledge and just repeat it.
Yeah,
repeat,
yeah, it, we repeat talked it. About this last time. Yeah,
exactly. And one thing that I was saying this morning is not only do you need to analyze every single person for the individual fighter that they are, mm-hmm, you also need to establish that mindset. And I know that's something that you do. We've spoken about it and I talked, yeah, to them about it this morning. And this is what I think is not only that, but the beauty of a good coach is putting so much confidence in yourself, yeah, that you start believing you repeat it. You hear it said to you so many times that you're good at this, you're good at this, you're good at this. You start repeating it to yourself. Yeah. I'm good at this. I will not maybe be champion. Mm-hmm. I will be champion. Yeah, I can feel the weight of the belt on my hip right now.
Mindset's key, man.
But he has that. Yeah. Very, I don't remember last time I've met a fighter, especially not at his age. I've met older fighters that still had the mentality and got there because of it.
Yeah.
But I think it's the first time that I meet a guy early 20s that is actually, not only does he have the fighter aspect, he reads on psychology. He understands. Mm-hmm. He is so many years ahead of where I was at his age.
Oh yeah.
It's incredible. That dude is going to be beautiful, yeah, to watch.
If I knew, so I think I made my pro debut 2004.
Yeah. God damn. How old does that make you feel?
Old, that was Muay Thai. But pro, yeah, 2007 was pro MMA. Crazy, right? But like, if I knew, if I had the knowledge,
yeah,
if I was able to like download this skill set, mm-hmm, that's in my head,
yeah,
and put it in my 23-year-old body,
yeah,
fuck, man. You know, it's just, and that's kind of, I would have been a much different fighter, and things would have gone further, I believe. But the cool thing is that I don't need to do that, because I can download it from this brain and put it into their brain.
Yep.
Like, even, and they can do things I cannot ever, I could never ever dream of doing, because I wasn't a very talented athlete. I'm not a very talented athlete. I'm a clever guy. I'm smart.
Yeah.
You know, I have a little bit of skills and a little bit of like genetic strength from my father, who was like a very elite wrestler.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, champion wrestler.
Good for him.
And so I have some of these things, and I have creativity, whatever, but I do not have the physical attributes or mental attributes that these guys have, where it's like, hey, man, like it's fun. It's fun kind of just like uploading the information and watching them take it to a whole other level. And right now people might be sitting around and being like, oh, there's Jeff talking shit again, blah, blah, blah. Like, these guys haven't done much, because they haven't yet.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yeah.
But I believe that we're destined for big things. That's what I choose to believe. And, you know, man, it's just, you know, all roads lead to here. You know, it's been a lifetime of sacrifice and work, so I can help these guys get to where they are. And that's a great responsibility. And that's why I reached out to a manager, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because, like, for the longest time, I thought I should manage them myself, but I don't have time for it.
It's a lot of work.
I don't have the technique. I don't have the management technique.
It's not fair to them.
They trust me with their fucking lives, bro. Yeah. And I saw things in the past at the place I was at before with, like, you know, like a coach managing fighter. And it's just like no sponsors, like just fucking shitty matchups. Like, just like, man, I can't let that happen to these guys, because these guys, I love them.
Yeah.
Like, I love my students. I love all of my students. You know what I mean? I feel like this insane amount of like I'm just indebted to them, because they trust me with something. They're trusting me with their lives. Mateo trusts me with his life. His entire future in front of him, as he sees it, is based on what we can provide him.
Yeah, you and Peter.
Me and Peter and the other people.
Here. And all his training partners, obviously, man. But he does.
So that's a huge responsibility.
Of course.
And that's worth it. If there's a chink in my armor, which is like me not having Sean Shelby or whoever on a speed dial, my ego has to separate from like that and just be like, okay, we need a manager. You know, and I'll be the same with anything. Like, if someone needs to work on their boxing, I'm not that guy. That's what was so great to have Rob up here. You know, if someone needs to work on their wrestling, we got a wrestling coach. We got the guy from we got the National Capital Wrestling wrestling coach working with our pros. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know everything. I don't know enough about jiu-jitsu to make it to a UFC, to like a UFC level, champion level. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know enough about that. I believe I know enough about striking.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to think that after like the hundred something champions that I've created. But like, yeah, man, it's just about delegation and understanding that we all have shortcomings. And like, there's going to be a guy, again, it's like the round table, right? It comes back to that. There's going to be a guy at the head of it. And I guess that's me for now.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll change. You know what I mean? But everybody has a part. Everybody has to play a part with every single athlete. And in mixed martial arts anyway. You know, it's fucking cool, man. I love this shit, as you can probably tell.
you're...
Ow!
But you're absolutely right. It's the... Again, it comes down with the ego portion to be able to be a good leader.
Yeah, yeah.
Being a boss is nothing. Being a leader is where the real knowledge sits. Being able to say, you know what? I don't know this, but I know somebody who does.
Yeah.
I think it's Elon Musk that said that he's never the smartest person at the table. All the people, but what he's smart about is fucking Christ.
That's smart, man.
He says that he surrounds him. The difference why he's so successful is that everybody's sitting on that table smarter than him, and they're the best at what they do.
Yeah.
He just manages I want to envision this. Now let's find the best team I can have to make it happen.
Yeah.
You're an orchestrator. You're like, you're,
sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, but you're
creative, whatever, yeah.
I look at a general, you know, like a general contractor, same thing.
Or a general in the military.
Yeah, he doesn't need to be the best.
Doesn't mean you have to fly a plane, you just have to tell the guys where to go.
You need to find the best people that can fly those planes, tell them where to go. You have a vision, but you need somebody to put the mortar and the bricks together.
Oh, man, I want it so bad. Like, I could just like, I could just like, fuck it. I don't know, man. I'd chop off my hand for this shit. You know what I mean? I just want it so bad. I want to see these guys make it. You know, it's exciting times, man. And it, like Ottawa, what a great city, eh? You don't like it.
Well, it's not that I don't like it. I find it boring. It's
yeah. It's not like home. It is. It, well, no. I mean, it's not like my home. It is my home. You know what I mean?
It's
right?
Your home now. Yeah.
It's not like a wild life. I love it though, man. It's pretty exciting still. I like the people here. Everyone's kind of like
laid back.
I think I'm really blessed to be in Ottawa right now, considering all the shit that's happening. Because Ottawa to me is kind of recession proof.
Yeah.
If we're talking, looking at like an economic standpoint, there's a lot.
As a business owner, because a lot of it is public sector money.
Yeah.
Oh, you're in a great place to keep your
it's the bubble.
Yeah,
like
because
if you look at like back home and stuff, like we're like man, like
that's hard, huh?
Man, like industry
or decimated
industry tourism, like man, it's just getting decimated.
But not here because of the public sector, because all the government is here.
Yeah, you're thank God. I live here, man. It's cool.
Business wise, it's a very smart place to be, especially when you need customers that are individuals. Mm. It's a smart place to be.
Yeah. We've been lucky, man. We're still growing. I don't even like it's just grit and grind and
I don't
and again,
think it's
leadership,
luck though. I don't like when people say it's luck. I don't believe in luck.
No, I think just convincing the guys every day that we can do better and be better and grow despite all the shit that's happening around and just having like just a refusal to lose kind of attitude, much like we try to have in the ring.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And if you do lose in the ring or if you do lose in life or if you do lose in business, the only thing that you control is yourself, and you might as well try your fucking best. You know what I mean? There will be no folding. They will have to rip this shit from my hands. Yeah. You know what I mean? They will have to, we will fight until the absolute end. Not that that's anywhere near happening because we're actually doing pretty good right now.
Yeah.
But it's like, just refuse to lose, man. Like, that's it.
Yeah, refuse to concede what's yours.
Winning to me is a mentality. You know, it's not anything else. It's not an act. It's just a mentality.
You're either winning or you're not. You finished the podcast last time by saying winners fucking win.
Yeah, man, that's true.
Well, winner fucking wins. I agree. It's a mentality. You're a winner or a loser. You're a victim.
Yeah.
But it is.
You can be the lion or you can be the gazelle. That's nature.
You choose which one you are. And a gazelle can become
food
a lion.
Or you're not, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, man. It's
crazy, dude. Yeah, I compare it to like this, man. I compare this to like a card game a little bit. It's a little bit of a gamble. You know what I mean? And essentially business is gambling, I think.
Yeah.
It's like just putting all your chips into something
gambling,
or like a little bit of chips into something. And,
you
know, whether it's time, whether it's money, you know, whether it's experience, you put everything or a little bit into something and you hope to see some returns.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sometimes, man, you're playing that card game and life just gives you a shitty fucking shitty hand, man. That's what's happened.
Yeah.
You know, like we're in a situation right now where we all get dealt a pretty crazy hand. And like I said, you got three choices, man. You can fold the hand and be like, I quit because
it's too
difficult.
Don't have
it.
Yeah.
You can ask for a redeal, which is like what I equate to, you know, people griping and complaining and asking for governmental change.
Yep.
You can ask the dealer for a new hand. They're not going to give it to you.
Yeah.
They're not going to go back on that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like the government's not just going to be like, oh yeah, your Facebook post made me believe that I'm wrong. So here we go. Let's change everything back and just everyone take your masks off. It's not going to happen, man.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Or you can just fucking concentrate 100%, 110% on focusing on just playing the hand you got, making the best of it, and just doing your best with what you have,
right? Mm-hmm.
Which is restrictions, which is, you know, quote unquote, like oppressive, like governmental restrictions, you know, just like, you know, some people, like you're going to have members go on hold. You're going to have this, you're going to have that, you're going to have all these obstacles. But in the end, like it's on us to succeed or fail.
Yep.
You know, and like, you know, it's on us to work something out with the landlord. It's on us to make sure that, you know, we're trying to grow and adapt and create new revenue streams because some of the old ones die. You know what I mean? It's like
you need to adapt.
Yeah. If you refuse to change, you will die in this time. And you just gotta bam, bam, bam. You just gotta go with it, man.
I also think at the same time, though, there is certain restrictions that were put in place that people will complain about, although there's nothing that can be done about them.
There's nothing they can do about them.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing. There is something that they can do about it, but they're not going to listen to your average Joe posting memes on Facebook and spending an entire 8 hours a day arguing about it when they could be spending that 8 hours a day marketing. They could be spending that 8 hours a day taking a course. They could be spending that 8 hours a day doing whatever it is that they're doing. Instead, these people are just wasting their opportunity to turn the obstacle into an opportunity because they're like, it's like, you know what I mean?
I 100% agree with you. There's a way to do things.
Yeah.
And complaining and arguing with people on social media is definitely not one.
Yeah.
But there are ways, I believe, that you can raise awareness to whatever problem that you have.
And I'm not saying don't fight for rights because like without this kind of thing, but there's a way to do it.
Which is why I did a video the other day and I'm going to continue doing them. But am I spending my whole day doing that alone? No. But I hope that I can change the mind of one single person that watches it. They're like, hey, okay, you might have a point. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying, I'm going to try to say with those videos is that we as the people have the power to change whatever we want. We just need to recognize that there's ways to handle a situation that is the right way.
Yeah.
There's a way to handle a situation 100%. That is wrong.
Yeah.
And to have... Unfortunately, it is up to us as the people to tell the government to say, listen, what you did in the past, it is what it is. It's done. We can't go back.
Yeah.
But starting now, those are the numbers. We have enough numbers. We know that the problems don't come from gyms. The problems don't come from restaurants.
It's a shit hand. It's a shit hand we've been dealt, man.
Yeah.
I'm not going to contest that. We've had 9 months of work and zero cases. You know, or 9 months of
how crazy zero is cases. That? How crazy
but
is
at
that?
At the same time, I am not in a position to give an educated.
I understand.
You know what I mean? An educated opinion on it. I'm just not because I haven't gone to medical school. I don't understand virology. I don't. Yep. You know what I mean? I don't truly understand it. And like, it's not like I have a blind trust in it. I'm not going to waste my time focused on trying to understand something when I have to stay alive.
You have other things that you should be doing.
If you're being chased by a bear, you're not going to stop to read a book.
About how killing bears, it's too late now.
Yeah, man.
It's too late now.
Yeah. You just fucking go, man. You jump off the cliff and you hope that you learn how to fly. And you just fucking hope. I'm just going to jump off the cliff. I'm going to make some decisions, some probably pretty rash decisions. I'm going to go. And then fortunately, it's worked with New Era, you know what I mean? But like, if you're being chased by a bear, you're not going to stop and read a book on how to get away from a bear. You just got to keep fucking going.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And that's essentially what I think is like, I don't know. I hope I don't piss anybody off with this, right? But like, I just see people arguing like things that, and using avenues of expression that aren't going to actually create change.
Yeah.
There's ways to do it. There's ways not to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think you need to know, you need to possess the knowledge to know
the
difference.
The best way to do it would be to get behind Mazamal from Wacko.
Yeah.
Who's heading up all the PSOs.
Yeah.
And instead of, you know, spending our time complaining about how gym, like martial arts are essential and blah, 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 and posting whatever, we need to get behind this guy. We need to get our members registered. We need to make sure that, you know, when he goes to the government with a proper lobbyist like we have and says, listen, this is how many people in Ontario train.
How many cases?
Yeah, because they have to be part of the PSO. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, so like focus on getting your gym involved with a proper PSO, with a proper whatever that is actually advocating for its members. And then maybe you can have change. You know what I mean?
And that's what I like. It's funny you say that, but that's something that I would want to work with putting out videos is just to exactly do that. Just show that, yes, that the statistics are messed up. Let's not argue about the past, but what can we do today that will make it better? But you still need to be, I'm still working during that day. I'm still doing what will pay my bills. I'm just doing that because I feel that I should help. Mm-hmm. That is it. But there are people that are doing that, dedicated to it. So why? It's like it comes down to what you were saying earlier. You have a round table. You have somebody with an idea. You have somebody that specializes with that idea. Why not fucking let them deal with it? Man. But you still need to be able to recognize the idea to say, this is what I'd like to do. Do you feel like doing it? Yes. There you go, because you're the best at it.
Yeah.
That's your job as a leader.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Not very often does Jeff just look like that. He's actually
I was just thinking about it. Like, what do you think of that barbecue guy?
Well, I don't know the guy, but I can tell you that there's... I don't know the personal aspect of the
Adamson
thing.
Adamson Barbecue.
Yeah, but to say to go ahead and reopen his restaurant,
yeah,
I respect that.
You do, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I spoke to a guy about... I did a podcast with a guy 2 weeks ago. He's the French equivalent of that guy. He's okay. Just outside of Montreal, and he's been battling the government because he's really talking about the psychological effect of things, because when you think about it, it's absolutely right. Like right now, let's say I come to Ottawa. I want to see some of my buddies that I haven't seen in years.
Yeah.
I don't even have a place where I can sit down with them, have a beer, and just chill unless we do it at his place.
Yeah.
Like there's no place that we can simply sit down outside of our homes, mm-hmm. meet people that we love, spend a good time with them in public, because it's always more fun than there's people around, there's noise, there's kind of an atmosphere that's created. But we don't even need to get that. We don't need to. Do you remember last time you actually went to a restaurant? The waiter, the waitress sat you down.
No.
You just enjoy food with your wife and your kid, other people enjoying food with their wife and their kids, mm-hmm. being in an atmosphere that.
Yeah, you miss it, right?
It's that we are emotional creatures, and we are not solitary mm-hmm. creatures. We're meant. I guarantee you that you put two human beings on an island, somehow they will find each other. There's a law of attraction that will pull them together. There's a reason why we're like that. We are meant, if you believe in Buddhism, we are just one. Energy is never lost. It is simply redistributed. Mm-hmm. And my friend, we are energy.
Yeah.
It's been an hour, bro. Do you have something to close this shit with?
I don't know, man. I don't know what to think of that, you know? At the same time, like, it's like, I believe some of our rights and freedoms have been taken away, and I mm-hmm. believe that, my focus is on just surviving. I think surviving in a recession is winning.
I think
just getting through to the other side and getting through this thing is the most important thing. So I haven't spent a lot of time educating myself about the facts, about whatever. So I'm not going to say something that I'm not 100% sure of.
I understand.
You know what I mean? But like, in the end, like I look at the United States of America, where they do up a free for all, and it's pretty crazy down there.
Mm.
It's like almost, you know, they're approaching a million people that are out of that country that are going to be dead. So I know there's a common ground in the middle between all of it that is probably the right answer.
It normally is.
I think we should just do that? Do I think we should just go back to life as it was? And I'm not sure. You know, is that risky? Is that why Canada is not in that situation? Possibly. I don't know. I'm not a scientist, right? But if you look at like places that like America, like it's kind of crazy, man. Like there's a million cases in Florida. Like I don't know, man. Again, this is all just. I don't want to make any enemies. This is just my opinion.
Yeah.
My opinion is that I don't really have an opinion. I'm just going to play the cards I'm dealt.
Yep.
I'm just going to go with it and
put the blinders on. Put the blinders on and do your job. Yeah, do your stuff.
100% eyes ahead. There's so many distractions now. People get caught up in the distractions. And to me, the distractions are not worth it. You know what I mean? If it comes down to where I'm feeling like my rights are being severely infringed, I would fight.
Yep.
No, I think fighting for rights is very, very important.
Agreed.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
Like fighting, like obviously if someone didn't fight for rights, we would still have like segregation. We would still have sexism. We would still have, you know, like just racism and you know, homophobia, like rampantly running in our society. And I think we've come a long way through fighting for rights. I just don't know if this is the fight. I'm not sure. You know, I just don't really have an opinion on that.
And it's okay.
I think fighting for rights is important, but I'm not sure if it's time for me to lay down what I'm trying to do and what I'm trying to create and actually fight for them right now. Because I'm not sure.
I can agree with that.
I don't know. It's like I'm not an expert in the situation. So
there's a lot of people in your situation that I don't know if it comes that you have some to lose. You have, if you're concentrated on something, to be honest with you, I don't put that much thought into it either. Like, I've researched it quite a bit, but I don't.
It's just something we have to deal with.
And I unfortunately have that mentality too.
It's just something we have to deal with.
What can I do?
Shit happens, man.
Yeah.
You know, am I grateful that it's not 100 years ago? And then, like, you know, like there's like trouble brewing in Europe. And when my kid's 16, I have to send him to World War II. Yeah, yeah. I'm fucking grateful for that. You know what I mean? There's worse things that have happened in the world. And the crazy thing is if we were lived to be 1,000 years old, this would be like our 7th pandemic. It would just be another one. It'd be like, you know.
It's one
It'd just
of those
be like
things.
Getting pneumonia over the course of a lifetime, you know?
Yeah.
We know how to deal with it better. But I don't think anyone knows what they're doing. The government, the activists, I'm just not sure if anybody really has a fucking clue. Myself included, and I fully own that, you know?
It's, how the fuck did he put it? Matthew that I spoke to yesterday said about the government, there's three things that always happens with government: incompetence, you have ego, and you have a third one. I can't remember, but whatever bad decision that comes out of it is always that. And right now, all we're seeing is ego. We spent on a thing that we know now with the data that we probably didn't handle it the right way.
Maybe.
But nobody has the balls to say, you know what? I'll raise my hands and say, we fucked up. Let's figure out what else we can do from here. And
that
this
would be refreshing, right?
And this is what bothers
me.
That
doesn't get you votes.
But
does this get you votes?
No.
But
that bothers me that...
What a three-dimensional...
You know how many times I've raised my hand to say, you know what? I fucked up. That's another thing you said on the last podcast, and I think I'll finish it on that, but... I am a fuck-up. I'm a repetitive fuck-up, and I'll make mistakes the rest of my life. But you know what? I will fucking learn from them.
Yeah. Fucking up's part of it, man. You know? Just fail, fail, fail until you succeed.
Agreed.
Cool.
On that note...
Pleasure, sir.
It's always a pleasure, man.
Thanks for stopping by.
Fuck, I'll stop every time. Winners fucking win.